Hello, dear followers of Yurtin Media. My name is Elnora Rozmut, and I'm happy to make this special episode of podcast, which we record here on Digital Almaty Forum, which is FIFS and international. And I am pleased to introduce our international guest, Nikolya Sidirak, who came specially here in Kazakhstan to talk about his unique educational system. So let me introduce Nikolya. Hello, dear Nikolya.
Hello.
Nikolya is a founder of 01 Edu System. He has 25 years of experience in educating IT engineers and created peer-to-peer unique system. And Nikolya, tell us more about this peer-to-peer system. I know that you already for 4 years make some business here in Kazakhstan and develop this sphere.
Yeah, actually we have a school running in Astana, which is called ALEM, for the last 4 years. And we are going to open a new academy, which is called Academy One, in Almaty pretty soon. So if I speak about the peer-to-peer, it's a little bit, I have to speak a little bit of about the story. So mainly, my experience in education is that coding and a lot of activity, it's not a technical activity. It's mainly a creative activity. And our traditional education system doesn't promote a creativity. It tends even to reduce it. And as we were forming IT engineers for the innovation, especially for the startup, but also now every company needs innovation in IT, you can't use the traditional education system. So you need to have a process which grow and which enlarge the creativity of people. And this peer-to-peer process, it's totally focused on that. So mainly how it works, the first which is striking for most people, is that we don't have any teacher, which means that we don't have any mentors. So it's mainly an activity in between students, and it looks like the students have challenges and they have to, as groups, solve the challenge. And mainly what we do is to organize this activity so that everyone grows its creativity and its interaction. And I am more and more convinced that we need creativity, but we also need something which is co-creativity, which we call collective intelligence, and it's what we try to develop with those programs.
Yeah, and you created this program on international level, and how it's changed when you decided to adopt it here in Kazakhstan? Maybe there are some changes, or maybe some local, our mental specifications?
No. Actually, we run program in around 50 countries worldwide, and we don't see any difference.
No.
Of course, there is an ecosystem which is different, but the individuals are not different, and we promote the agility and the capability to adapt. So mainly, there is no big difference. We have been doing in Japan, we have been doing in Africa, in India. It mainly stays the same. Of course, we have specific interaction with companies, but at the end of the day, what we need is creative people who are able to solve challenge collectively. So it's the same process everywhere.
Yeah, and I read that in this program, students can become like lectures to each other. Yeah? Yes. How it works?
I wouldn't say lectures, because we are not in a process of lecturing each other, but we are more in a process of co-creativity. So mainly, let me explain. So imagine that you have something to solve, like you have to make a choice or something, and you are a group of people. It's because the people disagree that you will get deeper answer. So I wouldn't say that the students teach to each other, but they help each one to go deeper in his own creativity. Because, of course, you can have a good idea, but it's never as good as when you have to challenge it to each other. Okay. And by the way, it's not a process which is very new.
Yeah.
We have been doing that for very long. I think in the traditional education, we tend to forget that. We have this teacher knowing everything and telling you what you have to do. But if you go to antiquity, to stuff, we were used to this process of educating where you have to convince each other. We use it in plenty of situations. So that's not something very new. It's rather coming back to what is natural way of learning. And it's not even a way of learning. It's a way of growing, and it's a way to create.
Yeah. You have experience of 25 years in educational system, and if you compare maybe those different stages, yes, how education looked like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and maybe different stages, and if you compare it with peer-to-peer system, what is the main differences?
Well, that's it's a little bit complicated because I think mainly education didn't move. I heard many discussion around here, and especially forums, and I went on a panel, and a lot of people tell you about digitalization, about education, but at the end of the day, I don't think they do it at all. I mean, they use technology to educate, but still with the same goal. I mean, They will try to bring you the same knowledge, and I think the big change is that the knowledge is not the issue anymore, because you have all heard about, for example, ChatGPT or any. ChatGPT is just an example of there is many AI very efficient. So knowledge, it's a computer problem.
Yeah.
So we don't need people who know plenty of stuff. We don't need people who are able to apply process because the AI are doing it better than us. So we need creative people. Okay, and all the education system is focused on transmitting knowledge and processing humans, I mean, make human able to follow process, okay? Which is totally not natural. A human being is not normally able to repeat the same task during the whole day. We are not done for that.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of training, and I really, you know, this word training, it's really exactly what we do. We train people, and I think it's exactly what we should not do. We should not train, we should educate, okay? And we develop a process of training which was adapted for the factory because we need to have humans doing repetitive tasks, which was very useful. We needed it, otherwise we would have starved. Okay, and we still need it for now because we still don't have enough robots and enough. But we are going to a society where this basic force work and these basic repetitive jobs will be done by softwares and by robots. Okay, so we need to change to an education which promotes more the humanities and the capability of creativity. And what I see, it's mainly the institution of education have very hard time to move, especially because they are, I would say, knowledge religious. It's very important for them. It's a religion, and it's really difficult for them to move. And my conviction today, because I have been involved in education in a university and stuff, my conviction is it won't be happening in universities. The universities are not able to change. It will come from outsiders, from other companies that are not already in this religious about knowledge. And what is interesting, it's, for example, we have been trained around a little more than 100,000 people worldwide in more than 50 countries. So we have a lot of experience. And what the set of quality that needs to get someone very innovative, it's not the set of qualities that need someone to be good in academic. Which means that, for example, we have students who were taking care of cows in Morocco and now doing cybersecurity at Google. So it means that it's a set of value which make you succeed as a scholar are totally different than the one who make you succeed as an innovator. And we are targeting, we are shifting from this knowledge economy to this innovation economy.
And what are your predictions about education itself? For example, like old university system, what's going to be in future?
I think it will disappear.
Disappear.
It will disappear, and I don't know exactly how it will be replaced, but I think it will. Maybe it will be able to evolve when it will be like really in front of the edge, okay. But for now, it seems not to want to evolve. It seems to say no, it's not a so big change. They try to blind it. You know, it's when you have very disruptive change, most people try to say no, it doesn't exist. It happened in many technology, and what is striking, it's if you see there is like GAFA in every field, but education. So education is the last.
Old system,
yeah,
yes.
In French we have an expression like fighters. They don't want to change. You know, they are kind of, they have a wall around.
Yes.
It's a fortress, you know, like,
sure.
And they block the whole stuff because it's true that it's, I understand that it's a fear because it's totally new and no one knows where it goes, but not moving, it's not a solution. And especially for, if you are training adults, like in companies, okay, you can train people because we have need right now. But kids, they will be in 20 years working. It's crazy. And I love a sentence of Jack Ma, who says that our university are training bad computers. Okay, we are training bad AIs. Okay, because we won't ever compete an AI.
We want to compete with machines, with computers.
Which is ridiculous. They will be always better than us to memorize, to process. Okay, but we have other quality, and we should learn to collaborate. For example, there is big discussion of school where they say we are going to forbid to use ChatGPT. That's insane. They should embrace it and make the students more efficient because that's the future. The future, they will work with AI. They will not compete AI, they will collaborate with them. Like the same for humans. We have been developing an education system where humans compete each other, where they should do exactly the contrary, but they should collaborate and co-create to get better results. Okay? It's always insane when I see in most university, in most education, they know, when you collaborate with other students, they call that cheating. Okay? It's insane. You should, as a group, give the best of the results that you can get. Use all the resources. Okay? Forbidding stuff which are going to be the norm, it's even dangerous for the people.
I'm sure I agree with you. And how do you think if we start to talk about AI, here in Kazakhstan now, different representatives of different spheres, for example, art, education, like IT, all of them, designers, start to scare that AI will take their work, their money and projects because machines could do it better.
So once again, machine will do it much better, but they don't do everything. Okay, so it's a tool. It's like we had in history, we already had all those problems. Like when they start to have those machines doing the work in field, people fear that they would take over all the jobs. They didn't. They just do it better for you so that you can do something else. Okay, that's exactly the same. So you will, artists will use the AI to make better artwork.
Or combine it with live format.
Yeah, yeah, you will. It's a collaboration. It's just a tool that you can make you, as human, more extended. It's a good news. Just to understand that, I was lately in USA and they had a big discussion about those automatic driving trucks. So they said there will be thousands and millions of people who are going to lose their job. That's true, they are going to lose their job. But if you see the big picture, it's rather a good news because it's not a human job to drive a truck. It's very bad for health. There is accidents, they kill people, okay? We have better to do with a brain than driving a truck that a computer can do. So now, in the immediate time, it's a problem. We have to manage it as a society. We have, of course, to take care of those people and to manage the change. But it's a good news. So this AI is good news.
In long-term perspective,
and not even very long-term. It's one generation, maybe. Okay, mm-hmm. But it's a good news. Okay, we will have less accident. We will have better people. It's not very fun. For someone to drive 10 hours a day, sit on the road, which is straight, it's insane. It's not normal. Okay, so we had to do it. At some point, it was necessary, but it's not anymore. It's a good news. And it's the same for everything. I don't think, a lot of people say that we will have new jobs. I don't think it will change the jobs. Okay, it will change the way we work, but there will be no new job. It's just we are doing the same things that we are going to do it, but using and collaborating with AI to do it even better. Even wider, even closer. We will have much more, we will take care about much more each individual that we can't do because of the massification. Now with AI, we will be able to have specific, you won't have the same cars as your neighbor because we are going to print it rather to build in a factory. So we are going to go more in humanity. It's a way to extend our humanity. And by this industrialization, we have lost a big part of our humanity to produce in mass. we needed it, because otherwise we once again would have starved. Okay, but now we can do, we can solve the problem of starvation, the problem of number, and still be more human. So it's a very good news for everyone.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good future.
And I understand that people are afraid of the change,
yes,
and it's normal.
Always.
And it won't be easy. I am not saying that everything will be smooth, okay? Because it's complicated. And if you look at the history, all those big changes have been always
like a stress.
Yeah, it's a stress, and there will be social stuff and whatever. But if you look at the big picture for the humanity, it's a very good news.
Interesting, yeah. It looks like you are a futurologist who can predict our future.
No, that's also something.
Let us know something about you, yeah? Can you tell interesting facts about you as a specialist in this sphere or just as a person?
No, I am very optimistic, and I love to have this philosophical exchange with people, and I really think when mainly we are social animal, and we are really designed to interact with each other. And everything which kind of tend to reduce those interaction, it's negative and reduce humanity. And my journey on education is really on that way. I have been clearly teaching as a normal teacher when like 25 years ago, and I really realized if you want to give the best of the everyone, you have to create those peer-to-peer environment where many you. Peer-to-peer, it means that a lot of people are confused. They think it's someone who students teach to students. It's not that. It's exactly the contrary. It's when you are a group of people in front of a challenge and no one knows how to solve it. And then we start to discuss of what we could do. And then we make hypotheses. We say, oh, we will do that way. And someone disagrees. We say, no, I don't think so. And we try. It fails. We try again. It fails again. And we do it again. Okay, that's the way we progress. I'm sure you experience the same. You're in a startup. We do that every day.
Yes.
We make mistake. And in the school, we learn to do exactly the contrary, to do it right the first time. Otherwise, you get a bad grade. Okay, you should grade the people who fail. Each time you fail, you get a good grade because you progress. That's the only way to progress. And we have to restore that. We do that from kids. When we are kids,
yes,
we learn by failing. We get up and fail and up again, and we fail and we try again. We have always learned like this. And the education after, when we go to school, because we needed this massification, we had to remove this normal process to make it more focused on specific skills. But it's something which is very natural. So I think we are this AI and this technology bring us closer to our nature. Okay. We have really to see it. I think most people have to, and I think it's difficult. You have to see it like a partner rather than a competitor. If you try to compete an AI on its skills, you have no chance. Never ever. Okay,
sure,
it's going to be like 1,000 times better than you.
Yeah.
But there is other stuff. And as human, we always value the human interaction. So even if there is an AI doing the same stuff as a human, it won't have the same value for you. Okay, it's just because you are human. So we will, and we have already experienced also this kind of stuff. For example, in Greece, in antiquity, they had people didn't work. They had slaves. So it was not very nice to have slaves, but they were in the same situation. We can imagine tomorrow we have AI slave doing the jobs, and we live that way. So as human, we can live. Work, it's not something necessary. It's just because we needed it to survive. But now, if we have another way to survive, we can find wonderful way to bring value to each other, and it has already been.
Yes. Okay. And what were those maybe some facts or conditions which focus you to this direction? How you change your mind?
Oh, I changed my mind because, so I have to tell a little bit of my story, but mainly I am originally in physics. So I study physics, I got a PhD in Stanford, and I never worked as a physicist. I was involved in hacking, and I created the first pen test cybersecurity company in France. And we were very successful, but we couldn't find employees. So we had thousands of proposal from companies, and we were five, and we are not able to make them. So I had to find employees. So couldn't find. So okay, as a company, we decided, okay, we have to train them. there is none, we have to train them. So as I was the best degree in the company, I say, okay, you are going to take care of that. And I start to educate. And I just realized that, especially in hacking is an activity where you need to be very creative, because of course, if you do the normal way, it doesn't work. It's just the way it's supposed to be secure. So you have to have people who have a different mind. And I find you couldn't do it by normal education. So we did this very practical education. And then slowly, we developed this peer-to-peer. But it has never been a plan. Okay, I never thought about that. It's just because we needed very creative people because of the company we were working with. And we saw that the people who were really acting and working together were more efficient than the people who were learning. And slowly, it took like many 10 to 15 years to develop slowly this kind of stuff. But it has never been a great idea. It has been small step, plenty of failure, plenty of retry, okay? And a lot of, and also what is interesting in, and it's something that I love, it's because at some point I had a company, a cybersecurity company, and I was also having this education process. And each morning I had to wake up and say, okay, will I go to the company or will I go? And slowly, I was kind of captured. But even so, the business was giving much more money. Every morning I was captured because, you know, when you have in a process of education with young people, there is a lot of energy. It's something which is really, really feeling.
Drive you, yeah.
Yeah, it drives you like crazy. It makes every day. I remember when we started, the first school I was working, it was called EPITA in France. By the way, it's ranking first in IT in France right now. And I was like spending 12 to 15 hours every day. I was tired all the time because I couldn't stop. It was every day. And you know when, because you are managing the stuff, but you have 1,000 students, they are never tired because there are 1,000. They have always new idea, always new question. It's a very passionate activity.
Yeah. Do you have mission?
Our mission is our mission is what we call unleash talent. So our mission is to find, identify talent, to train them, and connect them to company. Because now my new company, they run talent. I think education is not enough. You have to connect it to companies or to larger than company, I would say activities or project. Okay, but mainly
some practical
yeah,
stuff.
And it has to be this separation between education and go to work. It's totally artificial. It should be more linear. So that's the way we are working on that, and we have now a lot of people who are, in the same time, students and employees and work with companies.
Yeah, and due to the system and rules of Alem School and the school which you plan to open here in Almaty, you take people from 18 till 44, yeah?
Yeah.
42.
There is no really limit in age, so we have any age, but we take starting 18.
19, yes. And I mean that, for example, people who want to be there, which skills, hard or soft, they should develop in order to be in this swimming pool, yes? And also, can you describe the system of swimming pool?
Okay, so mainly what we have seen, so now we have a very, very big amount of data on that. There is around 2 or 3% of random population which have the skills to be a wonderful coder, to be creative and coder. Mainly, I am not able to name those skills. It's a set of mix of skills which is probably based on creativity, probably based on human interaction, and some kind of endurance and capability to focus and whatever. But what is important to understand, it has nothing to do with academic skills, which means that you can be very, very bad in academic and still be a wonderful coder, especially with math. A lot of people imagine that coding and math is the same thing. It has nothing to do. Okay, you can be wonderful in math and be a wonderful coder. You can be awful in math and be a wonderful coder. So it's very different. So we have developed tests to find those talent. So we have tests online. You can go online on Academy One to test it, or Alem, you can test it. It takes like 3 hours, and it will make a first sort. So you can say, okay, I probably can do it. Then after it takes what we call the piscine. So during the piscine, it's a 4-week process where we will find the one who really has the talent. And after those 4 weeks, we are sure. That means that the people we admit, we know that they can make it. Okay, we have 100% of success after if they are really involved in it. Okay, and mainly the piscine, it's a 4 week where we will use a peer-to-peer process, but in a very intense way, so that we can see if this process does work with people. Because I am very convinced, and I have tried it on very young kids, it does work with almost everyone.
And in every sphere?
Yeah.
Or only IT?
No, in every sphere. We did it in very sphere for young people. And it works for most of the young people. But when you are 18, you have been already educated, you have an history. So some people have lost those capabilities. And I don't think they couldn't get it back, but it would get a lot of energy. And we are focused on the one who are the most efficient on that. And after those 3-4 weeks, we are able to say, okay, you have the skills. Most students who do the swimming pool, they know at the end of those 4 weeks if it's for them or not. Okay, and after we are sure. Okay, and it's very interesting because even those 4 week piscine, it's not just a selection process. It's really a life experience. I have seen plenty of students who failed and say that it still changed their life. Because you have a very intense interaction with others, you have to dig inside yourself and to confront yourself to how you or yourself work and how yourself interact with others, and it changes you deeply.
Yes, and one of the goals of the school is to provide to the market, for the government or for the commercial sector, those IT specialists. Because here in Kazakhstan, we're in luck. Yeah, we have to find somewhere 10,000 IT specialists.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I think there is one word too much. It's here.
Okay,
we are in luck worldwide.
Okay? Yeah.
There is a very big lack of IT coders and IT specialists worldwide. Mainly, we think around there is 5 million lakh right now, and the Gartner group say it will be around 20 to 30 million in 2030. So we are in a huge lack, and of course we are here to provide talent on this, which is what is very important. It's there is a basic level to enter the global market. When you are speaking about IT, it's difficult to explain to a lot of people, but when you are doing a software, everyone can arm the whole stuff. It means that you can't take someone which is average. Otherwise, it can break the whole system, so you need a basic level. So it's very important to bring people to a level which is international, and it's what we are doing. We have the same level people training in California or people training in Kazakhstan or in Africa, because you can't have average. Okay, that's very important.
Yeah, and I think also very important that youngsters should not wait when they will become, for example, 18 years old yet, and they should develop their talents and look forward, focus on IT if they want to work before they, for example, enter your school, Alim School, Academy One.
Yeah, of course, as soon as they can do it, it's better.
And what are your predictions if you start the school in Almaty and also school in Astana? How many years we need to find those specialists?
Well, I think it's a program of 2 years.
2 years, yes.
And we are already training a lot of people. And also in Almaty, Alem, they plan to go to rural cities. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure we will find a lot of talent.
And what are your predictions about future directions in IT and coding?
Oh.
Young people, where should they focus on and what they should?
So I won't do any prediction. And I have learned that the prediction is really a bad habit. We always, one of the big change in my journey, it's during a long time I was managing school and we were trying to figure out what was the future. We had what we call expert committee with companies, and they always try to say, okay, in 5 years we will need that. They have been always failing, always. And I think it's worse now because it changed, it go faster. So I think the good strategy is to focus on the adaptability. So you should make people who are able to adapt to the change. You are not able to predict what's going on, but you have to make someone who is, you know that he will adapt of whatever. And that's exactly what happened in this peer-to-peer process. It's, we spend our time to, how do you say that, to disturb the student, to make situation not expected so that they have to react. Okay? And that's exactly what we do. So we do flexible because it's, of course, if you knew exactly what was going to be the future,
yes,
you could bring the skills. But no one can make it. And I think now everyone who tells you that he knows what is going on in 5 years is really dangerous. You should really be careful because no one can predict. It's I am sure of one thing, it will be different. I'm sure it will evolve a lot. But what is going on, it's really unpredictable. And if you, but what I know, it's as a group, as a community, we always find solution. Okay?
How will it look like life in 10, 15 years? How do you think?
Well, I really don't know.
Flying cars, or we shift to other planets?
In 5 years, no.
No, okay.
That's for sure.
Okay.
But we can know some impossibility. No, really, it's very difficult to predict. Even in very short term, 5 years is already very far.
Yes.
Pretty sure, for example, if you speak about flying car, in 5 years we won't have flying car, that's for sure. But in 20?
Yeah, in 20.
20, it's not very clear.
Yeah.
Will we still need car? Okay. Because we speak about a lot about IT, but there is also other very, very deep revolution in physics, in quantic. We are at the very, very start of a much deeper revolution in quantics than we had in the last century. So really we are not able to predict. 10 years is short, but 20, really.
Unpredictable.
Yeah, you could have like teleportation. So
wow.
Maybe no more cars, not flying cars, just it's really possible. So it's like, it was science fiction 10 years ago, it's not anymore. So it's, and also there is something which is going to change deeply, it's energy. We will probably have fusion in the next 50 years, which change everything. It's not just more energy, it's way more. It's a new, and it's also a very dense energy, so it's very easy to carry. It's very a big change. So if you see the AI, okay, more the quantic and the new set of energy, it's a totally new paradigm of life. Okay, so it's very, you can see it very deeply. So we clearly, someone trying to predict now, it's very, 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 very difficult. It's almost, it's really impossible. But what is interesting, it's we have also, because in the same time, you have a lot of people who are saying we are stuck in a very, we have this climate issue, which is, I'm not saying there is no issue. It's a very big issue, but we have also a very, very big solution. Okay, it's not easy because we have to focus correctly, but in the same time we have the chance. So we are not in a linear situation right now. We are in a very big change situation.
We shouldn't go on the straight. We can make like jump from point A to point B.
And that's why it's very difficult, because education, it's true that when you educate people, you educate for the future.
Yeah.
So the first reflex is to say, okay, what is going to be the future? But I think it's really a bad reflex. You have to make people who will adapt to an unknown situation. And you have to focus on those qualities. And it's, I think if you are speaking about parents and stuff, you know, a lot of people, I am doing a lot of conference, and a lot of people say, what should I teach to my kids? And they say, okay, he will learn that. And in the worst case, he won't be useful. I say, it's not true. When you learn something, you change yourself. So in some case, it's negative. There is not only positive learning. Because when you learn something, you most of the time ingel yourself in this...
In this frame, yes?
Yeah, it's a frame. You change specifically when you go to this very structured way of learning, you kind of train your brain in a way of doing stuff. which is engaging you. So you should embrace a much more diverse education very early and a lot of activity. Okay, and the diversity is much more efficient than go to only one step deeper, because no one is able, once again, to predict what would be useful.
Very interesting point of view. I'm sure that a lot of academic representatives from Kazakhstan and not also from here are going to argue with you.
I have a lot of discussion with plenty of people, and I am always happy to spend.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, thank you for sharing. And a lot of here in Kazakhstan now we have phenomenon of high developing of startup market. Yeah, a lot of startups, when people who program connect with people from business and they start to create something new. And we see today like more than 100 startups, and this sphere is developing very fastly. So what you can advise maybe for those people in order to become again progressive and effective in future and maybe create this worldwide famous and useful startup?
So once again, I won't be very advising because I'm pretty sure they already are in the process. But my experience, so I have found many startups and some were very successful. I think the first experience I say it's about people. So the most important is to have the good people around you, either in the team and even around the team. So if you make a good culture, if you kind of attract and gather the good people around you, that makes it work. Because it's exactly the same in education. It's very difficult to predict what will be your business and how it will go. So if you have flexible people, clever people and dedicated people, you can always find solution. And I have been involved in many startups. Most of them didn't do what they expect. Okay? If you look at them 5 years later, if you ask them, did you imagine that? Most of the time, they didn't imagine. So you have to have people who are mind open and really well together. I think it's the biggest value. Like this idea that a lot of people have the idea of the startup is someone who has a crazy, genial idea. I have almost never met that. It does exist, but I have never met them. Most of them, they struggle and finally find something
find
amazing.
Some solution, okay? Yes.
And usually it's because they have a very good interaction with the client. Most of the ideas come from the interaction with the client, or maybe sometime with someone who has nothing to do with him, and then you have an idea. But people who start to have the crazy idea, then make it, then sell it, I never saw it.
Yeah. Interesting. Thank you. And actually, let's make some let's make some conclusion. I'm very happy to touch your international experience and to have this dialogue. And Nikolya, if we, for example, what is better to say? You don't want to give advices, maybe just summary, yes, maybe some call to action about those two schools in Kazakhstan. Yeah, can you give some call to action or maybe call people to know more about the system? Or
if I have a message to transmit, it's if you are young and you want to go in IT, or even if you don't want to go in IT, if you don't know, because a lot of people don't even know what is IT. They have an idea, they imagine someone in a basement coding. It's not what happened. IT, it's a communication and it's a creative field. So make it a try. Okay? A lot of people we have online tests. Go on our site, try, and you will be surprised. A lot of people, I have a lot of students who say, I was just trying by random and just find it fun, and now I am a developer. So just make it a try. You will be surprised because most of the people don't imagine what is coding. It's a creative job.
Okay. Thank you. Today, as our star guest, we talked with Nikolya Sadirak, who came from France here to Kazakhstan, and he talked a lot about peer-to-peer program. And if you want to know more about it, you can Google it, or we also share some links. Thank you, Nikolya.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was Yertin Media. You can watch video on YouTube. You can subscribe to our podcast platforms and listen to us. See you next time. My name is Elnora Rozmut. Thank you, Nikolya. Bye-bye.
Bye.